This is Whole Life, a podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida.
Join me, Ken Wetmore, lead pastor, and Melanie Bachman, our worship pastor, along with our communication team, Randy and Lucas. Take a look back, a look deeper, and a peek into the week ahead.
Here we explore meaningful conversations about spirituality, community, and living with purpose.
We don't have all the answers, but we are walking the journey together.
Wherever you're listening from, you're wanted here.
This is Whole Life.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 511 of This is Whole Life, where every single week we dig deeper into the message being presented here at Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. And our hope is, as our theme of 2026 is greater things, that we will find those greater things in the Lord, and together we'll grow deeper in our walks with Him and each other as a family and a community here at Whole Life. So the only thing that this conversation can possibly need is you. So whether you attend online, you know, if you use your fingers or your voice in our online chat, you can do that before, during, after the service. You can do it from the front row, the back row, from across the globe. But just 407-965-1607 or podcast at wholelife.church. And bonus points like Carolina Dave for sending voicemails. We love voicemails. Carolina Dave, I have to reach out to you if you haven't heard the bonus episode yet. I know you've been doing a lot of catch up and maybe haven't had it yet, because I'm going to need the end of that conversation, because when I know that I'm dealing with men who are honest, I just need to get that last little bit in there so we can let Ken know that he was wrong when he gets back next week. So, all right. This week, it is just me here in the studio. We are preparing an amazing worship experience for you for this coming Easter. And Lucas he took over the overflow snorkel from last year, and he's trying to keep the snorkel above water as we are going through a huge project here for Easter. And as you know, Javier, who is our special guest, Javier Diaz from the Florida Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, was the person leading, well, he's a member, and he was leading our Voices of Whole Life. He kicked everything off for this year's messages, which is my favorite every year, because I think how long have you been a member here, Javier?
Wow. I'm going to say probably 10 plus years.
And if you know anything about Javier, you know he's a podcaster. And I believe, even though he's been here to record podcast, he recorded a two-part series, I think, with Ken. He recorded one here with Carla. And
yes.
Yet he has never been on our podcast. So welcome aboard, Javier.
Thank you. It's great to be on.
Yeah. So he did, before we went live here, Javier said that he did listen to the message. And he did listen to the bonus episode.
Yes.
And so I have to share with him. Now I'm going to record this, and because I got to see the look on his face when he sees this. I'm going to hold this right up here.
Oh man!
Right.
So, where did we see that? Where did we get that? Who made that?
This is compliments of Gil Parente, Ken Ken Rate.
Oh man!
A conflict resolution, but faster. So, if you happened to catch the message a couple of weeks ago, when Ken spoke about the person that was in their bathroom in Guam and he had to go through the door. This was just absolute gold. And if you are a part of our Slack channel, you'll actually find that there as well. And if you'd like to subscribe, just send me an email from the account you would like to have registered to podcast at wholelife.church, and I will add you there. Okay.
You will want to see the picture.
it's just classic. And I'm just like, Gil, you nailed it right on the head. And we like to give, you know, Ken a hard time about being a redhead and a ginger sometimes. And assumed tempers that go with those, or hot-headedness that goes with it. But anyway, we like to give him a hard time, but he took it in stride. No problem. All right. We have some questions to get to. And so before we get started, for those that don't know you, Javier, tell us what you do at the conference and kind of a little background about Javier, just so we have a kind of a place of reference to start from.
Sure. Well, I'm blessed to be part of the ministerial team of the Florida Conference and been doing that for the last 10 plus years. Before that, I was pastoring in the local church, both here in Florida, and spent a good amount of time as well in the Gulf States Conference, which is Alabama, Mississippi, and the Florida Panhandle, right?
Oh, okay.
Some people may not realize that Florida Conference only goes up into Tallahassee. So anything west of Tallahassee is not part of the Florida Conference.
Really?
And so that part of the Panhandle belongs in part to Gulf States and regional conference as well. In a nutshell, that's been my ministry. And then I've been blessed, my wife and I, to just pastor and help pastors and be part of this incredible team here at the Florida Conference.
That's amazing.
And of an incredible church at Whole Life.
I didn't realize you'd been here this long, though.
It doesn't
seem that long, but obviously, what do I know?
Yeah, it's been, because of what I do as I'm not at Whole Life every Sabbath as I'd love to be, right? And so, but as I would tell Andy back in the day, and I'd tell Ken, that we watch regularly online sometimes. Don't say this to anybody. I'm sure your listeners won't know, but I'll put it on while I'm driving to the church or something, depending on the time frame, or catch it perhaps later or something to that nature. Absolutely.
All right. So as I mentioned earlier, Voices of Whole Life, every year we invite members of the Whole Life Church to come and preach what's on their heart. And so I always ask everyone that comes aboard, where did the seemingly elusive fruit idea come from? Was that something that Ken and Melanie are like, hey, we'd like you to preach on this? Or was this something that you've, been ruminating on, or it's just kind of been in the background? Like you said, you travel. I'm sure you preach when you travel at least on occasion. So yeah, Maybe this is one you've had in the past that you've kind of tell us where it came from.
Sure. Well, yeah, almost every weekend I am speaking, not every weekend, but nearly every weekend somewhere at some church. And so when they asked me if I would be part of the Voices of Whole Life, I was truly honored. And it's interesting because in full disclosure, I was supposed to, my time slot was in June.
Oh, okay.
And then I think it was, I could be wrong with the dates here, but sometime at the end of last year or beginning of this year, Melanie said, hey, the person who was going to speak last weekend when I spoke can't make it. Can you switch? And I looked at my calendar and I said, you know what? That's going to be able to work. And then she said, you can speak about anything you want. And so I was praying and thinking, evaluating, assessing. And I don't know why, but I felt like I wanted to talk about peace.
Okay.
I think it's also part of just the journey I've been in, and just that continued desire, like we all have, to want to experience peace. And we can talk more about that and whatever questions come up. And so that was the essence of how and why and I came to speaking on the topic. Now the title, it was because ultimately, I'm thinking, what's a good title? What is it? And so I at the end of the day, it was the fruits of the spirit, right? Peace is mentioned there. And it just seems that at times, could it be that peace eludes us, right? And we're chasing after it. Maybe we don't realize, but I think one of the aspects amongst perhaps others, I would say, including love, joy, as mentioned in the fruits, but peace is something we all want, right? At the end of the day, we want to have that essence to feel true peace in our hearts and our minds and our soul.
Mm. Well, I'm always interested when I hear the title and try to get an idea of where we might be headed. I talk to, Melanie never lets us in on anything. So if she's preaching, she comes up with titles that, okay, after you've heard the message, you're like, oh, okay, I get it. But it doesn't usually lend itself to any investigative work that you can kind of figure out or prepare for. And so the eluding us part, you said 40% of Americans feel a deep sense of spiritual peace on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
That surprised me, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, your next statistic was 49% of Christians across all denominations also have a feeling or have a feeling of a deep sense of spiritual peace on a weekly basis.
Right.
And I'm like, is anyone else like raising their hand like 49%?
Yeah.
Like that's like out of other people that are just, I'm just living life. I'm not a Christian. I may have some beliefs in a deity or not. And they, and 40, I'm like, as Christians, the good news only goes 9%.
Yeah.
That seems, that shocked me. Honestly. Yeah. I thought 40 was high, and I thought 49 was way too low.
Yeah, I thought so too. Some people may have different views. And specifically for evangelicals and that religious landscape, Pew Research survey, that was a couple of years ago. For evangelicals, it's at about 60%. And I think you could include us in there in that, you know, realm.
Okay.
What the survey doesn't say, and I mentioned this in the sermon, was what exactly do we mean by experiencing peace, right? So are they experiencing peace that week because I was able to pay all my bills? I'm not sick like the way I am this week. And just, I mean, it was just a great week, right? Nothing went wrong. And so could it be circumstantial or not?
Yeah.
And so that is not mentioned, but nonetheless, the person feels, and I would say to your point that even for evangelicals at 60, shouldn't it be higher, right? Shouldn't it be 80, 90%? Shouldn't we feel peace?
Yeah.
And that's where the sermon title comes from. Is it eluding us? Are we not really achieving the peace that we think we are? And that's why I put seemingly, because every person needs to make that choice. So notice that. That's the elusive fruit.
You know,
Randy, maybe you're experiencing peace at 99%, and praise God. Good for you if that's your case.
Yeah, no, usually when it's the not feeling peace, it's like, man, why am I not feeling like I think I should feel? Or how knowing Jesus ought to make me feel every day. And then I walk past the mirror and go, ooh, it's that guy again. Every time it's that guy that is doing something or not doing something that is, I believe, is the basis for this illusion of peace. And yet, and when I think back, there was a long part of my life where Jesus, God, none of it was a part of my life. Mm. And after I thought about it a little bit more, there were times I think I could have resonated pretty easily with that 40%, and maybe have even have been higher. And I mean, and I can't say that my upbringing didn't have any residual, I don't know, ideas about God and what could be, but I had thoroughly rejected them, not out of spite or out of, well, maybe at one time it was probably spite, but later on it was just like, look, I've been doing just fine. Mm. And I don't go to church. Do I believe in God? Sure, probably, but it's not enough to make me want to be any better of a person than I already was, or change lifestyle decisions, things of that nature. So I wonder, thinking about that, how do we reach people that say, well, I don't know, I think life's pretty good just like it is. I don't really see that, you know, what you have is so much better than what I have. Generally, I feel like I mean, a deep sense, and not just like, yeah, I feel okay, but like a deep sense of spiritual peace. And so it just made me think of, as we are embarking on our new Amplify 2036, and, you know, we're talking about adaptive leadership, and what don't we know about telling people about Jesus that makes it only like a little bit better, seemingly? Or are we just are we giving ourselves too much credit? I don't know.
Yeah, I think your question, or if I understand, maybe it's a bit of an apologist type of, you know, answer looking for here, beyond the essence of peace, or, and along with that, if a person, if I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, if a person, like in your experience, you said at some point maybe you were experiencing some kind of peace, right?
Yeah.
And not necessarily too worried about your relationship with, you know, God at the time of your experience. And, you know, the at least what comes to my heart and mind at this point with that is, I think it's, what kind of world do we live in now, right? When we look about peace and we look the world around us, clearly, I mean, we're literally at war now. I mean, it's that. And so this was not what life was meant to be, or was it? Obviously, as followers of Jesus, we know that it wasn't.
Yeah, correct.
And so we believe this essence of peace is peace with God, peace with each other, and inner peace that overlap one with the other, I would venture to say. And so part of what I was trying to communicate is that certainly we can sense an aspect of peace.
Sure.
And again, depending how we define that. But true, at least for me as a believer in Jesus, is that in Christ, we are new creatures and we have this hope that the peace of God surpasses understanding. And so therefore, it is not only a present hope of the future, but within that aspect, a hope for eternity as well, you know, which is obviously part of the future and the hope that we have.
Yeah.
And so then we realize that our current circumstances aren't the finality of what our lives are going through. Because that was a big part of what I was trying to say, right?
Yep.
Is that our circumstances shouldn't determine the true essence of peace. Now, that doesn't mean, and I'll say it again, like I said in the sermon, that we don't grieve, that we don't cry, and so on and so on. But in the midst of that, right, as Paul said, we don't grieve like the others grieve.
Yeah.
Because we have that, and these are not my words, that peace and that hope in Jesus that all things will be made new.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know if that fully answers what you were aiming at, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I just think that, you know, as we move into a world that's ever changing, we're reading a book on adaptive leadership right now. So this has been churning through my mind. I've got to preach here in a couple of weeks on the 11th. And part of my story is what I'll be sharing. And this is all, so you're churning things up and I'm kind of working on my outline and I'm thinking about this and it's like, oh man, I don't know if I can, I may have to change where I'm going. So, it's really been food for thought for me. And I think maybe where one of the most poignant things that you put in your message was on C.S. Lewis, who said, God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself because it's not there. What's happening in us comes from Jesus alone. And I wonder, maybe that's a big part of that 40%, right? Like, even though I don't know Jesus, I've heard of it. I mean, I think most people have heard of him. They understand the idea, the concept, whether you believe he was just a good person, as some believe, or if you believe he was the Christ and the Savior sent from God as a baby, and the second advent is yet to come. So whatever your view is, I wonder how much of that is just, you know, the happiness that we feel is just an innate part of being one of God's creation as a whole. And that made me think about, and I loved how you started going through different things, you know, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give you what the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You know, and he's saying all this as he knows what his fate is and the cross is at hand and, you know, the weight of what he's carrying. And that's where I feel like that picture of Jesus was really, really powerful and really beautiful. When you think about someone who might not have been feeling a deep sense of spiritual peace, or almost assuredly wasn't, but having that innately in you and still being able to realize that, you know what, I don't know how I'm going to go through this. I don't know how I'm going to do it. You know, God, take the cup, please. I don't think I can do this. And still, he's just like, yeah, we can do this. I'm taking, you know, and then it makes me think of him taking time to pray in the garden and being connected. And it's like the extra pieces that we need that we don't always remember that we need. When things are going good, we're like, well, boy, God's good, isn't he? Isn't, you know, yeah. Praise the Lord.
Right. Well, I think, you know, I believe that's why I use the essence of cultivating boredom and cultivating contentment. Right. And I, you know, you could, you don't have a certain amount of time, especially in whole life, right? It's very, you got this amount of time, you know, Melanie is, this is the amount of time you have. And the, I was very gracious. There was no Q&A. So I had a little bit of more time, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I decided to, through God's grace and just, you know, prayer, the reality of towards what you're saying is that as we cultivate the essence of boredom, which really is the disciplines, as you were saying, like Jesus, Jesus often went away in solitary times of prayer to depend on his Father. And so what an example for us. Those were moments of solitude, silence, not in some, you know, in today's world, Middle Eastern, whatever, you know, meditative way. He was focusing and speaking to his Father.
Yeah.
And so it is a call for us to really engage in the essence of prayer and silence and solitude, to do away with distractions. You know, today it's all about the attention economy, right? It's like, what is really drawing our attention? And, we're just streaming and scrolling and searching on, you know, line. And maybe what we need is just to be still and be with God and allow that peace that surpasses understanding that he says, I will give, and he does give. Yeah. And it's crazy because in my experience, Randy, I've, you know, like we all have in our own journeys, been through all kinds of things just for the sake of scope and time.
Sure.
But when I have cultivated those aspects and just stopped, like, let me put my phone away. Let me put and just put all my concerns and my cares to Jesus, right?
Yeah.
As Peter says, because he cares for us. Cast all your anxieties upon him because he cares for us, right?
Yeah.
And then in Philippians, as I mentioned, you know, it's as Paul says, the peace that surpasses understanding.
Yeah.
Right? How can, when tragedy hits, and it hit last week, right, in our community.
Absolutely.
How can we both mourn, grieve deeply for the tragedy that happened and what many people beyond are going through in their lives all across. And yet as followers of Jesus have that peace and hope.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's the peace beyond understanding that only comes from the power of God.
And the thing that I wanted to talk a little bit about that, and I want to make sure that we're staying on track here, but one of the things that when we talk about boredom, and I chuckle because I hear all the time from the back seat when we were up spring break, we were in Ocala, Silver Springs. We did some zip lining and some kayaking and just got out into nature, peaceful, right? And the difference in, because when you were talking about, you know, solitude, moments of silence, stillness, and talking about, you know, your youth as a Sabbath afternoons, things like that. Man, I hated those as a kid. Mm. I mean, no, you can't do this. You can't play with that. You know, don't, if it's, you know, it's got to be below the knees or, you know, all that kind of stuff in the, getting wet, getting in the water. Can't have any fun. It was basically how it went. And it's not a point to blame at anyone. It's just the culture that we grew up in. And, you know, your parents do the best that they know how. And we're still here. We are parents ourselves trying to do the best that we can do. But when you think about those times, I wish that my parents had known more what to do, as I've tried to learn what to do with my kids and as a church family, how we give grace, and not even just give grace. That's not really what, finding ways and encouraging people to find their connection. Mm-hmm. So for me, I love Saturday afternoon. A lot of times we'll zip out of here as soon as I have uploaded it, speaking of grace. And so it's ready to go for Sabbath afternoon. And then we'll jump in the kayaks and we'll find some place to put in and we'll just go and be out on the water. If I can be out on my Harley for the afternoon, evening, a whole day, that is precious time for me to think about, be still, be calm, and let all that, like, that is what it, it's not sitting with a book. Well, I do enjoy reading, but if I'm really being serious about, like, me connecting with God, that's where it happens at its best and its most enjoyable, where I go, how come I don't do this more often? Yeah. Because in a certain age and a certain culture, that didn't fit the mold. And yet my life would have been so much different. I truly believe if there had been outlets for each person and for me to find that. So how do you do that, Javier? How do you find that space? What do you do for just, I need to unplug and I need to be connected to the right thing?
Yeah. Yeah, so I'll definitely answer that question. I want to piggyback off of what you were saying, that, and I briefly alluded to it as well, and I did mention, besides silence, solitude, and stillness, I mentioned the essence of Sabbath, right?
Yeah.
And slowing down, which is part of all of that, right? I think we're moving at such fast paces in life, right? Everybody is in a hurry, and you really can't be at peace if you're always in a hurry.
True.
Right. That's the essence. And so when it comes to Sabbath, part of that as well, and I mentioned that, is community. We find peace in speaking one to another. Listen, I don't have all the answers here. God has all the answers. I'm trying my best to express what, as a pastor, as a person who loves God, loves people, is trying to help people in their journey.
Doggone it. I thought you were going to come here with all the answers today.
No. Ken will have them. Just kidding, Ken. I love you, Ken. He definitely would be like, no. I think the beauty of Sabbath, right? Coming together, having conversations, worshiping, talking with people. Sometimes, like this past Sabbath, we had potluck right there at Whole Life, having conversations with people that maybe I have not had conversations with, and it just gives me a peace. That, you know what, there are people going through different things that we could encourage one another, empower one another, and that alone is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then now for parents, I mentioned this too in the sermon, I actually think that when it comes to noise, it's a beautiful thing to have kids be running around.
Yeah.
They say, well, that's not peace. You know, actually, somebody from the kids' room was sent me a text. It's somebody I know, obviously, sent me a text of all the noise that was happening in the kids' room. And they put peace or something like that. I saw it, you know, later, and they actually told me. But I also, that's because I mentioned in the sermon, right? That's actually good noise. So I have kids running around on Sabbath with one another, and that's a beautiful thing. The noise that we want to put away is a constant news cycle that can thread us and lead us here and there, and people arguing about this and that. Listen, there's space, obviously, to know what's going on in the world, but at some point we got to shut it down. Maybe it's just me, Randy.
No,
I'm speaking to myself.
Yeah,
like there's only a certain amount of news that I really need to know, because I'm not going to solve most of that. I'm going to pray about it, and certainly, but I'm not going to solve it. So I need to really focus my attention where I can do what I have to do, what God has called me to do, and at the same time experience that peace in the midst of it. And part of the way that I do that is everything that I've just said, obviously Sabbathing and silence, solitude, and stillness. That's been a big part for me.
Yeah,
I think that part of waking up early and spending time with God, I know we've heard this a million times, but it's just such a powerful thing to be very intentional with that.
Yeah,
just being by myself. Also, this would be no surprise to anybody. I've mentioned this many times. I'm an exerciseaholic, so I really enjoy running outside by myself. No music, no nothing. I'm not listening to a podcast or anything most of the time.
Whoa!
I'm just in my head for about an hour.
Javier,
or so, depending on time.
I don't know about this. I think you need help.
Probably. You're not the first person to say that.
Podcast. That's my podcast haven.
Yeah.
I got you. I hear you.
But because I travel a lot and, you know, I'm traveling, in a sense, driving a lot, that's where I listen to.
Makes sense.
I don't even listen to music. I'm listening to all kinds of podcasts.
Yeah, me too.
On there. But that's really my time on how I find the essence of cultivating the essence of peace by spending that time with my attention on Jesus. And listen, it doesn't always work out the way I want it to. And if, you know, today has been a busy day. And so I'm feeling the need of, I had to, believe it or not, I just talked about not rushing things. I've had to rush a few things.
Oh, right.
And so that's okay. You know, find the time this evening. And this is my other point. And I mentioned this too in the sermon, we focus a lot on the morning devotionals. And as you said, it's super important.
Yeah.
But God is calling us to a life of devotion. And so I'm trying to also set times in the middle of the day, give or take, in the evening as well, before I go to bed, to also spend intentional moments and cultivating that with God.
Yeah. Towards the end of your message, and I know that we're running out of time quickly here, we've got a couple questions I want to get to, but I want to kind of wrap up this portion just by saying that you mentioned, you know, it's a constant relearning that Jesus is enough. Yeah. And I don't know, for those listening, how you internalize that and how you lean on it, or you keep it in the forefront, that's just reminding you that, like, when you're overloaded in a news cycle and you haven't put down the phone, or you're, you know, you've just had a heated discussion with someone over something in, you know, whether it be politics, personal life, whatever, and just bringing back to file that under the proper hierarchy of what you're going to let take over in your thoughts, in your day, in your mood, and remember that Jesus is enough is up here. And to lean on that. And that, this is something that, when you said that, it's been something that's been on my mind and just thinking every day since then. That's right. I've got gratitude. There's a lot of things in the morning. That's usually my morning is a busy at our house. But my first thoughts are quick prayers and gratitude every morning. Mm. That, hey, I'm up. I'm alive. I go out. I have a vehicle. My Harley's in the garage. I have a wonderful family. And if nothing else goes right that day, I'm a blessed person. And the gratitude is a huge part of that for me. So we had a couple of questions, and usually it is questions with Lucas time, not this week. And when I copied them down, I didn't actually catch the name. So you all are commenting and questioning as anonymous this week. But here we go. First question, multiple parts here. How does the cross give the Christian peace? The cross would seem at odds with peace at first. Not much peaceful, it seems. There's not much peaceful, it seems, at the cross until we understand what occurred at Calvary, in that it's ours and provides a security and assurance of unconditional love and salvation for all eternity. So they kind of answer that own their own question.
Yeah.
But how does... Just in a nutshell, how does that, and maybe that's the anchor, maybe that's the thing we're resting on, that Jesus is enough? Is that fair?
Yes. The essence that Jesus is enough and the essence of the cross is because Jesus, through the cross, as we believe as followers of Jesus, regardless of our journeys as followers of Jesus, we believe that by the blood of Jesus, we now have peace through his sacrifice. He paid for our sins. And even as I mentioned it there, the reality of what it means that he died for the sins of the world is something that we can grasp at a certain level, but it's also beyond us. Like, right?
Yeah.
So he died the death that we deserve so that we can have the life, right?
Yep.
That only we didn't deserve, but he gives us. And so it's the essence of that gives me peace, Randy. And it gives me peace that no matter what I'm going through, I know that Jesus is enough.
Yeah.
But I want to stress again, that doesn't mean that Jesus also said, in this world, you will have trouble. But in me, you will have peace. So he didn't like say, hey, you're going to be fine. No problem. Just you'll be have total peace, but peace is not the absence of conflict, right? Yeah. As is the, I mentioned, is a very well-known phrase, but it's the trust in Jesus that no matter what we're going through,
yeah,
we have this hope in him and he will see us through it. And so that is, to me, in a nutshell, for the sake of time.
Yeah.
How I would answer that.
You know what? I know that you're a podcast guy, mm-hmm. because anyone that's been on a podcast, led a podcast, scripted an outline, when your guest immediately answers the next question, you know that they've been there, and it's like you can almost sense where it's going. Cause the next question was, what is your definition of peace? Hit the 30-second back button about four times and you're going to have that one. Okay. We got three more, and I know we're running out of time here, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to read all three of them because essentially they're asking the same thing. Okay. And if we need to clarify, we'll go back, but they're fairly short, but they're all getting to the same point. And so I want to get your response to that. This sermon feels very targeted, but honestly, I'm not bothered by that. It makes me wonder, is there real peace when we remove our distractions? Not just the screens we spend so much time on, but the deeper distractions in our lives. The next question is, if we step away from those things, can we return to our first love and rediscover true peace where God and Jesus are concerned? And is that even possible in a world where these distractions are so deeply integrated into our daily lives? And then the final one, how can we hear God and experience his peace when we're plugged into the world in so many different ways? It's not just screens, right? It's other things. Anything can take this. And if we step away from any and or all of those, is it even possible to do that because it's so deeply integrated? And can we find Jesus again and rediscover true peace when this crazy world we live in has just got so much of our attention?
Yeah. Well, I think you just literally gave me the perfect segue because you mentioned the word. To me, all of that again, for the sake of scope and time, forgive me for repeating that, but it's that word attention. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's something that I've, for the last at least several years, if not more, I've really been blessed to speak about in different ways.
Yeah.
The essence of spiritual disciplines, the essence of what it means to follow Jesus. How can we do that? How can we experience the essence of peace as we've been talking about? And a lot of all of that is our attention. Now, it's not about time. It's simply about time. It's about attention. And so how and what and where are we putting our attention? And here it is, since we as a community of faith are a firm believer in free will, and not that this is going to be a conversation on that, but we certainly believe that it's free will.
Yeah.
So the Lord says, okay, how do you want to focus your attention? And that is up to each one of us.
Yep.
Right. And it's, so this is not about salvation. We are saved by grace alone through faith in Jesus, period.
Full stop.
Because of that, the love of God compels me. Mm. When I look at the cross, the love of God compels me of what Jesus did for me. So my attention, I'm speaking here so that people can then make their own choices. My attention, or at least what I try to do, is to keep my attention on Jesus in everything that I do.
Mm, yeah.
And this podcast is about Jesus. Yep. It's not about me. And it's not about you, Randy.
Yep.
When I talk to people, it's about Jesus. Now, wait a minute. I'm talking about XYZ and it's got nothing to do. But wait a minute. I'm representing Jesus in that conversation that may have nothing to do about spirituality and maybe about fixing my car, right? Getting my car fixed. I'm talking to my mechanic.
That could be a spiritual experience.
I was just about to say, that could definitely be, because I'm not a mechanic. There's a great one out there. Let us know. Randy, you let me know if they.
I do have one.
Somebody, yeah. And so, but I'm just giving you little examples,
yeah,
right?
No, for
so
sure.
Everywhere we go, it's the essence that we're walking with Jesus in every experience, right? Even regardless if you work in a church like you do and like I do in a sense in the spiritual realm, or if you work in the secular, whatever it is, wherever it is, we are experiencing and our attention is, so I'm going to focus that Jesus is with me.
Yeah. Yep.
At all that time. And then be very intentional of also And I know I'm repeating myself here, but I guess I just feel the sense that I need to. When we come home, where's your attention, right? Sometimes we want to come home, and I've been guilty. We just want to lay on the couch, grab our phone, and begin scrolling, right? Just like doom scrolling. Just keep on going for it. And I'm just going to rest here for 10 minutes, and then it ends up being an hour and a half, and you're like, what just happened, right?
I'm going to go to the gym tonight, I promise.
There you go. There you go. So, but I would say, listen, I always tell people, listen, you don't have to be a runner or whatever, but by all means, take your children, go outside for a little walk, if that applies, whatever, and just go for a 20-minute walk around the house. In my neighborhood, it's wonderful. I see it all the time. There's a lot of people that walk in my neighborhood with their kids by themselves. And I, you know, getting that sun, getting that vitamin D and just being out there, what does that do? And I would say, what are you listening to?
Yeah.
Hopefully you're, if maybe you're not like me crazy that you don't listen to anything. Right. But make sure you're listening to something that's going to elevate you.
Yeah.
So again, intentionality to your attention, not just in the morning, but throughout the day.
Yep.
And then being attentive that everything we do and every work is glorifying God. Now, again, I have failed, Randy. I haven't always gotten it right. I don't want to sound like, man, he just gets everything. No.
Yeah.
I've had conversations where I'm like, oh man, I probably didn't say that right. I'm pretty sure I probably said something in this podcast that I could have said better.
Sure.
But you see our heart
for it
is
correct.
Is in that attention focus aspect. And I think that's really Dallas Willard, and I'm not going to quote him clearly here. I think mentioned something in regards to that, and man, I should have had that quote. So I won't say that this is coming from Dallas Willard, but I believe I heard something of this, you know, nature of what I'm talking about. And it's that we need to keep our minds focused, our attention, I keep on using that word, on Jesus, so that as I've been talking, in every situation, he's present. And it changes your whole day. Like Jesus is there with your children when they're hungry and they're screaming and they're yelling. Listen, those are your beautiful children. Jesus loves them. So go with it. What do you need? Stop what you're doing, and how and where do you need to take them or give them or feed them, of course, right? Yep. And that's a beautiful thing. So maybe our minds are going, man, I'm so glad my kids are hungry, right?
Yeah.
I get to feed them, right? It's just like a change of does that make sense? Maybe that's not the best illustration, but.
No, let me tell you, this morning, my wife had to be out super early. She was downtown here before around 8 a.m. for a meeting. And so Emily and I were, as usual, up getting ready to go. And usually Heather's up making her breakfast and packing her lunch. And she's in her room and she's not answering. And she's like, oh, I cannot. And she's talking to herself. She has these little conversations. And anyway, a whole ton of things went wrong. And pretty soon we're late. Well, she's already late for school. I'm going to be late. We've got so much going on right now here. I'm like, I can't be late. We got to get going. So like today was, I could have let this be something that was super sour. And instead, I'm like, hey, you know what? We rarely ever let her have Chick-fil-A. It's one of her favorite things. And it's just not good for her on a regular basis. And she's been heading to the gym more lately. So this morning, I was like, guess what? We are going to have breakfast on the way to school at Chick-fil-A. And I'm going to get you lunch. I mean, the girl was happy. on cloud nine. And like you said, you could have let that situation without a morning of gratitude and some prayers, Jesus, you know, take my day, make it what you need to be. And it turned out fine. And we had a dance party in the truck this morning, and we got caught by the person bringing our food out, and they just had, I think it might've made their day too. So, you know, you never know. It's going to be contagious.
But can I add some, well, not really add, but can I just make a comment on that?
See, yeah.
That's the essence, is that it seems to me, tell me if I'm wrong, that you refocus your attention. You could be like, oh, what's going on here? No, you can't have that. You can't have that. And whatever it may be. But in this case, for you, it was like, you know what? Okay, we're going to do this. We're going to go here. We're going to have Chick-fil-A this one time, this in the morning. Yeah. And this is how we're going to really. And at that moment, there's peace.
Yeah. And there was joy.
And so, yeah. And there was absolutely peace and joy. And so the reality is that I always tell myself this, and in different aspects, When I hear news that my jaw drops about this or that or that or whatever it may be,
yeah,
I say this has not surprised God. God is not sitting on the throne. You know, I give this example when COVID hit, right? I said, listen, God is in control. Like, God wasn't sitting on the throne saying, you know what? I missed that one. I just did not know none of that was going to happen.
Those pesky humans, they're sneaky.
Yeah. You know, it's like whatever that was or anything else in our lives or around the world.
Yeah.
And so it's just a reminder to me, again, just to me, that when I remind myself of that, it helps once again to say, okay, in the chaos of whatever I'm going through, God, you're in control. Give me the peace that surpasses understanding and help me to focus my attention on how you want me to proceed forward.
God, yeah, absolutely. It's such a game changer. And it's something, honestly, that's easy to do. If you start with some morning prayers, even if they're quick as you get started, you know, like I always tell people, you don't have to like chew off the whole thing to start with. Start with things you can digest, things you can do that you're good at. Prayers and always the gratitude. Like every prayer I have anymore has to have gratitude in it, because I find if I don't, I become a very jaded person very quickly. If I know that I've got gratitude for what God has given me and I know that that's where it all comes from, no matter what I've done on any part, any level, it comes from God. It changes your entire outlook and it changes how you look at things. So, Javier, thank you so much. I know we're out of time here and I want to respect that, but I also want to say thank you from the Whole Life team, the Whole Life staff and the Whole Life family. You brought a great message. And not only do we ask you to be the voice of Whole Life, not once, but twice. And then we ask you to be it one more time, even though you had to go to urgent care and we put off until Thursday. But I just want to say a huge thank you, because letting people hear your heart after the message is a big part about what this podcast is and why people listen and the benefit that they receive from it. So thank you for making all of this work out. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Randy, for the affirmation. Thank you to the entire staff once again, Pastor Ken and just everyone. It was such a blessing for my wife and I to spend the Sabbath there in our home church. And thank you for your patience with this. Like, in case most people don't know, I'll say it again. I got really sick right afterwards, like crashed Saturday night. Sunday was just, in this whole week, I haven't been this sick in some time. I'm a little better today, praise the Lord. And so we're actually recording. I would much have rather been at Whole Life and hanging out with you recording in person, but you don't want my germs. So thank you for your patience. Thank you for what you do, Randy, and continued blessings.
Thank you so much. Hey guys, you know, again, today I hope that you heard like the questions that we were able to dig into. It really makes the show what it is. It's all about you guys. So voicemail or text 407-965-1607, podcast at wholelife.church. This week, there was a change in schedule. If you looked at the events page, you saw a message called True Religion that was coming by Ken, which we have moved to a message called Lament. So please don't miss that. I know it's something that we don't talk about very often. Ken had mentioned that he believes this will be his first in over 20 odd years of preaching to preach a message on lament. So it's not something that we always hear about. So definitely tune in and then hit us up on the podcast. Make sure that you catch that so we can discuss it. So of course, every Saturday you can watch church live here in person in Orlando, live streamed, of course, podcast, Speaking of Grace. We swipe up in today's show notes and you will find that episode with Javier's message. So if you have missed it, definitely go and check it out. It is worth your time. And then every week, get your questions ready by text, voicemail, or email by Tuesday about noon, so that we make sure that we grab them and we'll look for you all next week. So guys, thanks for listening and sharing, and we'll see you all next week. Thanks for listening to This Is Whole Life. If today's conversation resonated with you, we invite you to subscribe, share, and leave a review on your favorite listening platform. To join the conversation, send a text or voicemail to 407-965-1607 or email podcast@wholelife.church. To learn more about Whole Life Church, worship with us online or in person, visit our website, wholelife.church. Until next time, this is Whole Life.